All right, the family of Horwood. That was awesome.
Thanks.
Horwoods. That's a whole family up there, you know. I don't know if y'all know that. That's awesome. You don't see that much anymore, right? And we're so thankful for the Horwoods in our church and all the ministry that they're involved with here, and excited about that. I don't know how your day's been so far. I know it's still a little bit early, but 10 o'clock's a later service, kind of sandwiched in the middle of our normal two services. So it's a little later. And maybe you've already done some things, been around coffee or driven around the city a little bit. I got up early because Patty had to take off early. We had this opportunity. Now, I'm totally relating to students right now. So I know if there's any students that are looking for a place here in Victoria, or maybe you're going somewhere else, you're trying to get a place perhaps on the mainland, that's what my daughter's doing this morning. They got the 7 ferry. Last night we discovered there's an opportunity for a place, and off they went. And as soon as they went, all chaos broke loose, of course, at our place, and people got left home, and I was just oblivious and driving around and doing my stuff while all this was happening. Mornings can be crazy sometimes, and so can life a little bit, right? Life can go crazy. And yet, God is so faithful. He is here with us, and He continues to, just shine His grace upon us, even though we might be oblivious to it, that He's doing it. And this morning, as we look at this passage, it's an interesting passage from Mark. We're continuing on in the Gospel of Mark, and it's been a lot of fun. We've been going to different passages. Not that long ago, we looked at some really powerful passages like deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Jesus. Really heavy stuff, where you have to literally be willing to give up everything to follow Him. We looked at a rich young ruler just not that long ago. I guess it was last week, maybe even. Yeah, last week. And the rich young ruler, where he was asked to give everything he had and follow Jesus. So we have this theme coming across in the Gospels that there's something a little bit more to maybe this life with Jesus than we anticipated. Now, this one that we're going to look at, as Fran read, thanks, Fran, for reading from the Scriptures, sounds nice and warm and fuzzy. So let's just cuddle up a little bit. It's cool outside. Pull up the blankets. Maybe just relax a little. Don't fall asleep, but just be at peace. And let's think about loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving one another. So we do a big group hug right now? I know, sometimes it feels right, sometimes it doesn't. I don't know how you're feeling this morning, but this is what the Scriptures maybe are talking about, or maybe it's something a little bit more there. So let's take a look at it. Let's kind of grab onto it, and let's see what God has to say to us. Because I think He wants to say something to you. I really do. And I think He wants to say something to me, and He's been saying it all week. And I've been struggling with it, honestly, to be quite honest with you. So let's pray, and then allow God to speak to us. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your word, and for the way that it's applicable to our lives right where we are now. We don't see it always right away. But as You work in our hearts, and as You perform surgery sometimes, and take care of the things that distract us from You, we find You melting our hearts and opening us up to what You have for us. So I pray that that would happen this morning. Your Holy Spirit would be free to move in this place and speak to us, speak to me, and remind us of who You are and whose we are. And I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So as Fran said, there was a group of people that were getting at Jesus a little bit, kind of testing Him. And I guess that's to be expected, right? Because they have a guy named Jesus who claims to be the Son of God. And as we come up to this passage, Jesus, I think, had already for the third time now, has reminded the disciples that he's come to die. That's why He's here. He came to die for them and for us. And so that's already gone under the bridge three times to them. And they're kind of percolating that in their minds and in their hearts. And so now they're watching all of these things as these religious leaders, as we hear about, come and they sort of test Jesus with all sorts of different questions, and He seems to rise up above them all. And in some cases, it's a little confusing too. Not everybody grasps exactly what Jesus is saying. Well, He is God after all, and a little beyond us. But here He was as a man on earth, speaking to people. And so they've been through that. They've been watching all of this. And for some reason, one of the religious leaders is kind of perked by Jesus, and he likes what Jesus is saying. He's kind of, yeah, it sounds good to him. And so he asks him a question. And that's where we come to this passage. And in the passage it says, if I can find it here, one of these teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them good answers, he asked
of all the commandments, which is the most important? Now, you may be thinking that he's trying to figure out, well, what do we teach? Like, what really do we need to do? Are there maybe some things that I don't have to do? Can you tell me the important ones so I can get rid of the other 600 and whatever commandments as they counted them all out? But no, it wasn't like that. You see, actually, this was not an uncommon question. So basically, they're trying to find, what's the sort of thing that everything sort of hinges on? What holds it all together, Jesus? What's the most important part of all of this? Can you get right to the heart of it? Can you tell me what it's about? And I think we all need to hear that. So it's a good question. It's a good question. And so when Jesus answers it, that's what he's doing. He's taking into consideration all these rules and regulations, all these laws from Leviticus and all of that stuff. And he's saying, nah, this is where it comes from. And by the way, when he identifies loving God and loving one another, it does actually come from laws that they have. It actually does. Love the Lord your God is from basically an opening of a Jewish prayer. And it's found in the scriptures. If you look to Deuteronomy 6:4, it actually quotes that very commandment. You're not going to find it in the Ten Commandments, and you may have thought, well, he must have gone to the top ten, right? Well, I mean, it certainly covers the top ten, but he didn't take it from the top ten. And then Leviticus is where the other, love one another, came from. So he picked commandments and things, rules, that these people would completely, quickly identify with and understand where they came from, and obviously they agreed with them as well. So he says, love one another. And let's go into that just a little bit. The most important one, Jesus answered, is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And let's stop there. Verse 30. So in that verse, we have it basically outlined for us. So I'm just going to go with the outline. It says how to love him. And it starts off with loving the Lord your God with what? All your heart? All your mind? All your soul? Oh, this is very interesting. Okay, let me read it again. The Lord your God is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Now, I like that one because I can relate to that. That's what, I remember I told you God's been working on me, so it was in my heart. So here's what was happening to me. It's so distinctive in my mind. I'm driving up from Shawnigan Lake, or down from Shawnigan Lake, actually, heading back into town. And I don't know, do you guys carry stress at all? Do you ever have anxiety? Things ever get to you? Nah, probably not. But I get that sometimes. And so I was a little stressed, a little anxious. Too many things going in my head. I'm trying to figure out how to put the world together and make it all work really well. And as I'm driving, it's as if God was doing surgery on me. And I didn't know what was going to happen. I didn't expect it. Does that ever happen? You don't know what's going to happen. It was literally happening to me. And it was like things were melting away. And God's saying, no, don't worry about that. Don't worry about that. No, not that, not that. And all of a sudden, he got to the heart of the issue. You see, when Jesus talked about love the Lord your God with all your heart, it takes a while to get there. Because it's the center of who you are. It's where dreams are hatched, right? It's where our hope comes from. It's our very being. It's what it pulsates out from us. It's what is truth within us. And as I was driving, I literally felt a tear going down my... Sorry, do it now. Hang on. Stop it. I felt a tear going down my face because I was thinking about the things that really were important to my heart. And I was driving with Patty, and I just felt like, wow, I got to tell Patty this. She needs to know this. And you would not believe the freedom that comes out of that. And I know that there I was expressing something to my wife, but it was something that God did in my heart so that I could love with all my heart. That is truthfully, right at the center of my being, being willing to be vulnerable and open with what I was feeling right then with someone and with God. I mean, God sees it already, but he wants us to love him that way. Stop with the facade. Pull down the shield a bit. And often, God's going to move you to tell someone else. That's what it's about, right? He's given us one another for a reason. Let him go to your heart. Don't be afraid of it. Let him melt through all the stuff that you're hiding. You think you don't even realize you're hiding it, but you are. You're hiding it. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. It's vulnerable. It's open. It's true.
Goes on to say, love him with all your soul. Can we relate to soul? Soul is an interesting term, and you may think about it in a variety of different ways. Did I just skip one? Hold on a second here. Excuse me. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul. Bingo. Okay. All right. I'm good here. If anybody wants to help me out every now and then, just shout out the next one. I'll just move along with you. Okay. Love the Lord your God with all your soul. And this is what I would call the motivating power that brings strength to the will. Okay, let me kind of unpack that a little bit. So the motivating power that brings strength to your will. Let's just think about soul, gospel music. Let's go to gospel music. And gospel music has great roots, doesn't it? Where people, it was, a lot of it was centered really on the voice and the heart and the soul, and people just letting it out, right? Letting loose what was going on and finding some freedom in that. I don't know if you guys feel this, but sometimes when I sing, I actually feel God healing me. Like, he just gives me peace. He takes me to a different place. And if this is allowed to happen, it can actually ignite something within our will to want to do something also. You see that in different movements where people are just able to express themselves and sing and rejoice. And then they get together, and together they move with their will to do something. Love the Lord your God with all your soul. And maybe you're not a singer, maybe you are, or you're not. But whatever it is, let your soul love him and allow that to ignite something within your will to do something. Because we talked about the heart, which is that vulnerable area, that truth. We talked about the soul, which is our ability just to let it go and then experience something that motivates us and actually takes us into some action with our will. You see, there's a little bit of a development that happens. We get shown who we are. And as that happens, we're melted. And we find ourselves worshiping. And if we allow ourselves to worship in vulnerability, we find our soul singing out. And it ignites something within our will and gives us a hope where we're actually ready to move and do something. And then we move on next to the mind. Do not leave the mind out. See, my tendency is to just want to be all emotional and get crazy and have a great time. But no, God actually wants me to think too. So he wants you to think. This summer, you have some time to do that. I got a couple quotes here I want to share with you. Because from the mind comes our opinions, right? Comes our judgments. We know that can be good or bad. But from the mind comes those types of things. But there's some beautiful things that come from the mind as well. We must love God with all our intelligence. When have you heard that from the pulpit lately? Love the Lord your God with all your intelligence, with all your intellect, all that you have. Give it all to him. It's not halfway. It's all of it. And allow yourself to use your mind to discover more of God. Thinking about our faith is not something to fear. It is actually a requirement. Critical thinking is good. Dive into it. Look at God's word. Don't be afraid of it. The mystery is there, I know that. We're going to discover mystery. We're going to discover what we would call and what looks like inconsistencies and what does not look fair. But don't be afraid of it. With all your mind, love God. He's not afraid of it, is he? And he allowed these people, this is what he was doing. He was in the process of letting these people come, these leaders, and actually challenge him with their intellect. And he welcomed that. And he welcomes that with us too. Use your mind. And don't be afraid. Dig into it. Do lots of reading. Read the Bible, read books, talk to people, get exposed to teachings. Get out there and trust God with what he wants to do, how he's going to lead you. Love him with all your mind. So love him with all your heart, soul, mind, and your strength. This is where we got to get physical a little bit. And I know you're thinking, whoa, what the heck? How does that work out? Well, it does work out. And Paul shows us so clearly. Have you read through Paul lately? When you look at 2 Corinthians, it talks about all the things he went through for Jesus. Those were very physical. I'm not suggesting that maybe you're going to be put in prison or you're going to be beaten or whatever, but I don't know. Maybe that will come to that someday. I'm not sure for our faith. But it was very physical. And so he loved him with all his strength. Philippians is such a great scripture for that kind of thing. And if I can find it right away, I'll read it for you. Philippians. Didn't lose my marker. Excellent. It says, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do,
Forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me, heavenward in Christ Jesus. And he gives analogies of physical things all the time, but it's pressing forward. It's actually physical, but it involves your whole being, of course. But it did involve physical, as we know in 2 Corinthians. You want me to read a little bit of that? Because that might be interesting for you. Let's see here. There goes one marker. Okay, you got some time? So, 1 Corinthians. Oh, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. It's really nice evening reading. But here's how it goes. Chapter 11, verse 24. Five times I received from the Jews 40 lashes minus one. Three times I was beaten with rods. And once I was pelted with stones. Three times I was shipwrecked. I spent the night and a day on open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country. Oh my goodness. And it goes on and on and on and on. It's physical. We can be out there. We're so familiar with talking about the spiritual and about our hearts and how we love one another. But we forget that actually Jesus called us to physically move. Right? Love the Lord your God with all your strength. And I love the way he carries on. He's not finished. He says, the second one is this: love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandments greater than these. So if you're looking to figure out what you need to do as you're living in this kingdom of God, well, have you taken time with God lately? Do you love him with all your heart and your soul and your mind and your strength? Now you're thinking, how do I do that? Well, thank goodness in the scriptures we have a clear picture of God giving us the ability to do it. And if you remember my illustration, it's just prime for how God works. He starts the work in our hearts, right? He meets us. He melts away the stuff that needs to be melted away. And then he gives us the ability, the ideas, the passion, the power to do something different. But we have to step out and do it. We have to physically do something. We have to move. And then he ends with love one another as you love yourself. These are the two things that you want to hang it on. This is where you want to put it all. This morning we have before us an interesting challenge as we share this. But I have something that I just want to kind of read for you. And I'm going to just sit down actually and read it. And I want you to just contemplate and let your mind go a little bit as I read it. It's a song, but it will come across as a poem. Not a poem, but as a nice sort of reading. And we'll end with that. And then I'm going to pray for you because the God that we serve is a God full of mercy and grace. He's an amazing God. And I know this, and I think you do too, because we're still here, right? And he still loves us in spite of who we are and what we've done. And we all can share so many things. I was driving up here again this morning. Do you want to know my journey just a little bit? Because we've got a couple moments. My journey today, my oblivious journey, was similar to ones that I do often, but I headed over to Esquimalt. That's right, Esquimalt. And I drove at Harbor View's office. I sat there and I did my, opened my app up and did my examen. I prayed for the church there, for Pastor Paul and Megan and his family. And I drove to the rec center. I walked in there and I prayed for the church. And I walked around the rec center. And then I went to the Esquimalt Youth on Cave Street. And I prayed for them. And I sat at the bottom of the street just before the high school. And ask God to open my heart up to what he would want to say this morning. And then I drove to a spot where I haven't been for a while, on the gorge, and there's a park there. I like that place because you should go there sometime. When you go to this gorge park, just after Tillicum, on the right side, just on right on the gorge, as you go to the cedar trees, if you've been there before, someone's taken time to make artwork out of the cedar branches. You know how they bend, and they can make them in their circles and all sorts of designs in them. Well, the interesting thing about going there is that when you go there, you don't initially see it because you just see the cedars, right? It's as if your eyes all of a sudden start to focus and you see more. You can see, oh, there's a circle. Oh, there's another circle. Oh, there's a star over there. It's amazing. And some of them are 6 feet. Like, they're big. Some are just tiny, just 1 foot. And so someone's taking the time to build all those. And then, of course, there are people that don't have anything. There's some people are sleeping there. It's just, you know, it's such an interesting mix of things happening there in such a rich city. And then I came to church and found out there was chaos at home. and was woken up to the fact that this same God that can take me to all these places and meet me and work in my heart and melt me and mold me is alive and well in chaos and in utopia as I walk around. And as I read this one song, I'm going to read it for you and then we'll close in prayer. It just reminded me, we may find it challenging to fulfill and live out this two commandments. Well, so did this guy, this religious leader, because if you'll notice, in verse 34, it says, when Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, or this man responded to him, when he saw that he had answered wisely, he says, you are not far from the kingdom of God. So what did he mean by that? Because maybe he's saying that to you too, I don't know. What did he mean by that? Here's my thought. He's just using his mind. He's loving God with his mind. But he hasn't loved God with his heart and his soul and his strength yet. He's not ready to deny himself, take up his cross and follow Jesus. He's not ready to take all of the things that he has, whether it's money or whatever, sell it and give it to the poor and follow Jesus. Are we ready to move for Jesus? Is the question. Well, don't be so alarmed by this. You will be, because God will do it for you. Listen to this. It says, I heard a river flowing from heaven. All who were thirsty would thirst no more. It says, I wonder if I can drink from this fountain. Even me, the least of 10,000, I come. Here at the waterfall, I stand in awe under the rock where your mercy reigns. Here at the waterfall, beneath the cross, under the rock where mercy reigns, I heard of a river out of the mountain where healing and pardon are pouring out. I'm over my head in a sea of forgiveness. Hidden in Jesus, I am found. This is why we can respond with love from our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Because of what Jesus did, right? It's not us. He's not challenging this religious leader now to go home and fulfill these commands. That's not what he's saying. He's actually saying, I will do it for you. It's who I am. And they were longing, they were still looking forward to this third thing, that these three things that Jesus kept saying, I'm going to die for you. I'm going to die. I'm going to the cross. But we know he's already done that. And there is a river flowing from heaven. And it's full of life. Everything that is near the river will live. Those that do not will not. Come to the river. Stand under the rock. Experience his mercy. Be flooded in its forgiveness. That's when love just flows out freely, doesn't it? It does. So, Father, we thank you for your word. And sometimes we take it the wrong way. We look at your word and we try to, how can I fulfill this? How can I do that? And we work so hard. And I know that's good in your strength, but in our strength, it's just ridiculous. It's painful. It's wrong. So we ask your forgiveness for that, God, and we want to walk in your strength. God, show us your mercy. Show us your forgiveness. Give us your healing so that we might respond in love, because you loved us first, so we love you in Jesus' name.